Hey, this is Pastor Rory Barrett from Discover Life Church. Thank you for joining today's podcast. Now let's get ready to be transformed, have our hearts encouraged, and live the life God has created us to live. Enjoy today's teaching.
Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. When you got it, say, I've got it. If you're on your way, say, I'm on my way. You're on your way. Matthew chapter number 10, verse 1. Then we're going to go to the gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority. Everybody say authority. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them what? Authority to do what? Okay, this is an open book test. Jesus called his 12 disciples and gave them what? To do what? And? All right. Okay, it's an open book test. Go with me to the gospel according to St. Mark. Go with me to Mark chapter number 6. Mark 6, I want you to look at verse number 7. Mark 6, verse 7. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Father, thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This message became the ending message to a series entitled MIA, which we know stands for Missing in Action, but we have been using that acronym to deal with the whole idea of knowing your ministry in God, knowing your identity in God, knowing your authority in God. So today, we're going to try to close it out. We introduced it last week, and we're going to deal with knowing your authority in God. And I'm going to kind of rush through the introduction part because that's as far as we got last week. When we start talking about MIA, what we're talking about is the reality of recognizing that God never called you and God never called me to simply tolerate life or endure life. But God has created me to be excited about life. God has called me, created me to be excited and enthused about life. It is possible to go through life and be disconnected from life. Okay, did I lose you? It is possible to go through life and be disconnected from life. Why am I saying disconnected? Because you can go somewhere and your heart not be there. And wherever the heart is not present, God considers that absent. Wherever the heart is not present, God considers that absent. Case in point, Jesus told the religious leader, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. If the heart is not present, then God says you're absent. This is why when they're going to anoint the next king, God looks for somebody after his own heart. And so when all the other brothers come before David and Samuel says, surely it's going to be this one because he's tall and he's big, God says, man looks on the outside, I look at the heart. So it is possible to look good on the outside and then the heart not be present and be disqualified from God's blessing. Because you become physically present at church, but God says your heart never caught up to where your mouth was. And so when we say missing in action, we want to prevent ourselves from just going through life, going through all the motions, going through the religious exercises, and then looking for a reward that God says, I'm not going to reward you because you did it. I'm going to reward you because your heart was there and your heart was there with the right attitude. Am I making sense? And so one of the things we want to make sure we're clear, Dee, is not just talking about knowing my ministry, which is servanthood, knowing my identity, who I am in God, but we want to talk about our authority in God. And I gave a definition for authority, and I'm kind of expediting this some. I said authority is the legal right to enforce and execute the will of a person, organization, or government. This is a quick review. Authority, the legal right to enforce and execute the will of a person, organization, or government. And what I mean by that is when someone has authority, they have been entrusted with the right to act on behalf of a person, on behalf of an organization, on behalf of a government. Everything the devil does is illegal because he doesn't have authority. Jesus says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, if you just knew somebody right up front, they told you, my only purpose in life is to steal, kill, and destroy, you would say right up front, man, that's all illegal activities. That's all illegal activities. Everything about the devil is illegal. Sickness, depression, discouragement, heaviness, poverty, murder. All of those things are illegal because that's not God's will for your life. Okay, am I making sense? And so what happens is, if everything he does is illegal, now I got to make sure I recognize as a believer, Jesus has given me authority by his death, burial, and resurrection to say, you know what? I can execute and enforce the will that God has for my life. His will is that I be in good health. His will is that I prosper and my soul prosper. His will is that I live as an overcomer. His will is that I be blessed. His will is that I thrive. His will is that I be fruitful. His will is that I have peace of mind. His will is that my heart not be troubled. His will is that I fear nothing. His will is that I be strong in the Lord. His will is that I have an expectation of the Lord. His will is that my head be lifted up. His will is that the joy of the Lord be my strength. And wherever none of those things are happening, Jesus says, I did my part by dying. Now you got to enforce the will. I did my part. You got to enforce the will. You got to execute the will. You got to set it in motion. Because I'm seated, which means I'm finished with my part. Now I have given you the right. This is right. I've given you the right. You see, in a movie or in real life, you have the robber has a gun, the cop has a gun. The cop, the policeman, policewoman tells the robber, drop your weapon. Why? Let me back up a little bit. Make sure none of y'all wasn't on the other end of the cop's instructions. Because y'all kind of look like, he told me, but I ain't do it. So, and somebody said it over here. He has no authority to enforce his will that way. And whenever you're trying to get something without enforcing the will of the Father, it's illegal. That's why everything about this world is a substitute. It is trying to convince you and I to get something without enforcing the will of the Father. Because why? The will of the Father requires trust in obeying him. And the world says, why don't you shortcut trusting God and get it your way? And then you get it your way, but you can't enjoy it because you never have true pleasure in disobedience. Okay, I lost some of my amens right there. Am I making sense to y'all? So let's talk about it. I want to just talk about how do I know when I am walking in his authority. How many of you want your best life? Maybe I'm talking to the wrong crowd. Okay, everybody didn't raise their hand on this side. Let me come over here. How many of you really want your best life that God created you for? It's going to happen through the authority of God. The legal. See, it took me a while to recognize and understand how I use this word. I have a right to be happy. No, see, I'm not talking about worldliness happiness where you and I are self-centered and we're living by self-standards. I'm talking about because I've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I have a right to everything he has died for. I have a right. I have a right to everything that he has promised in this Bible to come to pass in my life. I have a right. I have a right. The problem is he's not going to do it for me. I have to decide I'm sick and tired of living beneath my privileges. I told y'all think I'm joking when I give you real life examples. When I fly, I want my peanuts. Because you have factored that in into the cost of the ticket. Don't tell me the flight is too short for us to give out some complimentary snacks. No, it ain't. You ain't say that when you build the ticket. Okay, hear me. Don't say the flight is too short. Because when you factored in the ticket, you determined the price based upon your ability to pay salary, the fuel for the plane, and the food for the trip. So if you factor that in and I got to pay that cost, well, can I deduct the cost for me not getting peanuts? Well, of course you can. It's all a package deal. Well, give me my peanuts because I got a right to everything that's in the benefits package. So why get saved and live beneath everything been promised? So why get saved and live with who God told you you don't have to live with? You don't have to live with depression. You don't have to live with sickness. You don't have to live with misery. You don't have to live with defeat. You don't have to live with fear. The problem is I got to take the eviction notice and say, by his authority, you got to leave. I know, boy, it is quiet right now. It is quiet. I told you what the pushback is, this irresponsible gospel. It is this irresponsible God. It is, I want Jesus to do it all without me doing anything. And it's like, no, you got to enforce. You have a right to your best life when you decide you want it. Now, I know it's quiet. Let me tell you why some of y'all are rolling your eyes at me. But you know I ain't scared. But let me just tell you why. You want to know why? Because it's easier to be the victim. It's easier to be the victim than accept responsibility for your decision making. And you want God to answer on the basis of your lack of discipline and commitment, as opposed to accepting that God responds to promises, not your tears. Boy, it's quiet, right? At some point, I told you last week, at some point you become like Popeye. That's all I can stand because I can't stand no more. At some point you just get tired. I am tired of being miserable. I am tired of watching everybody else enjoy their life except for me. I am tired of living beneath the privileges that God has made available through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. I want it all. Go back to the flight, and I'm going to give you the. So they'd be like, would you like to have something to drink? You know, yes, I would. Matt, I'll take a Coke Zero. Can I have the can, please? Because if nobody else don't drink it, the only thing you're going to do is pour it out. So here's how the enemy pimps some of y'all. Here, take this Sunday blessing. But you ain't got to get it Monday through Saturday. Sure. You can have a little bonus at your job, but don't live as if God is going to be your provider every day of your life and on a yearly basis. And today is about telling life, telling the devil, I want the can. I want the can. No, you just said fill me up till I overflow. The Bible doesn't say you just will have joy. He says you will have joy that is unspeakable. What's unspeakable joy? It is a joy that you cannot fully articulate the reason, joy, for your glad expectation that things are going to turn out right. It don't just say peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. I have a calm confidence that God is going to work this thing out that go beyond my reason and logic. So that's why I'm not sweating. So God don't want to give you something just on an average level. He's trying to give you something that those who don't serve him have to look at you and say, please explain to us that in the midst of everything that's going on, why you have an expectation, why you have a calmness that we don't have. And then you can say, I'm glad you asked. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. Because they're like, I'm working hard, I'm praying hard, I'm doing all these things that you're doing. And you can say, well, you're missing in action. What do you mean? You're doing all that, but your heart ain't there. So let me just tell you, how do I know when I'm in authority? Let me just walk through this. Am I making sense, anybody? All right, let me tell you, number one. Here we go. Recognize that it's about his purpose. Recognize that it's about his purpose. The legal right to enforce and execute the will of a person, organization, or government. Watch this. Recognize that it's about his purpose. Jesus gave the disciples, and he gave us, spiritual authority to establish his purpose. He sent them out to towns and to cities and to villages where he was going to come. So he gave them authority for the establishing of his purpose and of his presence. Now, I'm about to lose some of y'all, but that's all right. I'll get you back. Just stay with me. He gave authority based upon their availability for his purpose. He gave authority based upon their availability for his purpose. Here's where many people derail the train. I want God's authority to live like I want to live. I want God's authority for my own pleasure and for my own agenda. And God only gives authority to reinforce his purpose. He doesn't give authority for us to live independent of his purpose. Where his purpose is my priority, then he gives me his authority to have pleasure. Am I making sense, Melinda? See, here, where his purpose is my priority, he gives me the authority to then have pleasure. Because why? You only have pleasure in the place of his purpose. Your greatest, okay, oh boy, how can I? Your greatest sense of pleasure only comes in the context of purpose. This is why the scripture says the bed of marriage is undefiled. The highest level of intimacy is not found just by you finding somebody that you're compatible with on a sexual level. The highest level of intimacy is when you are in the purpose of God together. Because purpose is what gives you your greatest sense of pleasure, because purpose has scratched the very core of who you are, not who you pretend to be. Because if I scratch who you pretend to be, you're going to itch as soon as the experience is over. But if I scratch who you are in God, it'll last you a life. Oh, come on. Y'all don't want to talk. You don't want to talk to me. And God gives authority where his purpose is my priority. How many of us are trying to get God to back something that he didn't authorize? See, he gives his endorsement, his authorization, his approval, his authority when I have decided it's about your purpose, God. It's about your purpose. It's about your, and then when I decide his purpose is my priority, then he says, you know what? I'm going to give you the ability to override every satanic and every demonic influence that blocks you from enjoying where you are. Because if my purpose is here, then I got to watch this. If I called you to a job that you call satanic and demonic, then if you exercise my authority, you can get pleasure in a place that used to be a problem. Ooh, I mean, it's not always, Calvin, am I making sense? It's not always about changing locations. Oftentimes, it's more about using God's authority. Because there's no way I can say God sent me somewhere and God didn't give me the ability to be successful where he sent me. No, it becomes an issue of me recognizing it's when purpose is my priority, I get the authority to be successful. Amen, lights. If God dropped you in the bottom of the ocean and said, I want you to go here to plant a church, your deacon may be a dolphin, but you will have the authority like Aquaman to command all you need, the crustaceans, the shrimp. Now, brother may be tempted to try to grill one, but you have, I'm just saying, maybe a little tempted. You have the authority, because why? Wherever purpose is my priority. God says, I got to make sure you have the authority and the right to be happy there. So the question becomes, is his purpose my priority? See, he gave them authority wherever they were going to establish his purpose and presence. Number two, just trying to recognize how I know when I'm in spiritual authority. Number two, I got to receive spiritual authority by faith. Receive spiritual authority by faith. The scripture says he gave them authority. 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 The challenge, Constance, with this is the fact that they hadn't done anything up to this point. They hadn't done anything. They hadn't preached. They haven't fed nobody. Peter hadn't raised anybody from the dead. He gave them authority. He gave them the ability to do what they can't do on their own. He gave them the ability, Jonathan, to do what they can't do on their own before they were even qualified to get the authority. Which means authority, hear me, watch this, it means walking in spiritual authority doesn't start with public performance, but private practice. See, I used to think when I first got saved, I used to think the only people that really got authority to make a difference, shift atmospheres, be used of God, to lay hands on the sick and cast out devils. I was always think it was people with titles. It was the pastor, it was the preacher, it was the apostle, it was the bishop, it was the evangelist. It was the, until I recognized that the scripture says in Mark, these signs should follow them that believe. They lay hands on the sick, they would speak in tongues, they would cast out devils, they drink anything that's poisonous, it won't hurt them. And then I recognize, man, there's a level of authority that comes by position, by having a title, but there's also an authority that comes by me simply recognizing as a believer by faith, man, I can make a difference. Have you disqualified yourself from walking in God's authority because you're waiting on the feeling? Because up to this point, LaWanda, the only thing they did was just simply be with Jesus. So that's why I'm saying you don't become more authoritative in walking in his authority by just simply trying to do more. You receive authority in the place of your communion with God. Authority happens in private and it's manifested in public. I'm glad I got one person in here. Take off the idea that you got to prove yourself to God first. When you see in the text, they didn't prove themselves. They had to receive authority by faith. You and I are as authoritative in God as we are to receive him by faith. You got as much authority to change a circumstance as you're willing to believe that God has given you authority. Well, I don't feel like it. God never confirms it through your feelings. Well, it don't look like it. He never consults your conditions first. You got to receive by faith authority. good days or bad days. Jiving or not jiving. My wife don't, PK don't check in with a feeling to see if she can exercise authority on behalf of the Barrett household in my absence or presence. We could have just had an argument upstairs. Come downstairs, that don't change her exercise authority. And watch this. Talk about your husband, Melinda. Talk about Eric. I had to get a new computer. Eric oversees our IT. And I'm still getting used to it, but probably earlier this year, I'm still getting used to it and different things. He deals with cybersecurity, so he got codes and all this other stuff, you know, and fingerprints and scan your eye and turn around three times, give a seed offering and all this other stuff before the thing come on. And so she was like, I need to borrow your computer real fast. I said, okay, let me get, let me come, you know, log in, do some stuff so you get my computer. She said, oh, no, don't worry about it. When Eric set it up, he set it up so I have access to it. I had a little moment where I was kind of like, what? She said, oh, yeah, she said, I already have access to it. Here's the underlying principle that we understand in our marriage. I have your authority. I don't need a feeling to exercise your authority. Because covenant relationship says, what's yours is mine. Even if we ain't feeling each other at that moment. You don't have to be feeling God to tell the devil you still got what God promised you. Okay, see. I don't have to be feel. See, this is the question. Do you hate the devil enough that you can hate him no matter how you feeling about God? Or are your emotions and your commitment to God on the same level as how you may be feeling about the enemy, that you can easily vacillate one between the other? See, I hate the enemy so much that I don't care how I'm feeling about God, you won't win. You know, okay, woo. That's what, it's a faith walk. That's what, you thank you so much. You know, so when David Underwood was in Alabama, you know, before he became the man of God that he is now. So David and all his brothers, you know, they can be arguing. And they, you know, they can be arguing with each other, not getting along. And, you know, they can be borderline about to fight each other. But then somebody else who ain't in the family can start adding their 2 cents. Then David and his brother be like, hold up. You ain't in this right here. Now the two who ain't feeling each other, watch this. Now the two who ain't feeling each other look at the one who ain't in the family and go, you ain't got a right to talk to him. Now I can, but you can. Come on, I'm trying to tell you, how is it that you can be mad at God and then co-sign with the devil and say, that's right, I don't trust God. Nah, God, I ain't feeling you right now. And then the devil say, I told you. That, oh, hold up. Now, I may not be feeling him, but you, I never like. You caused me too much heartache. You caused me too much tears. You've disappointed me too much because everything about you is illegal. At least he's been faithful. At least he's answered a prayer. At least he's made a way. At least he's opened a door. At least he's provided. At least he's lifted. What have you done for me? So that's why I'm saying it's a faith. You got to receive it by faith. Not your feelings. You receive it by faith, not your feelings. Number three, reduce trusting natural abilities. Reduce trusting natural abilities. Even while you write notes, that's what, receiving it by faith. That's why you got to be committed. Next year, I really want to deal with some of the habits to help us to grow. This is why receiving it by faith, that's where those disciplines like prayer, worship, tithing, fasting, come into play, come into church, scripture memorization, celebration, resting, Sabbath. That's why all those things come into the play to help you to keep your faith tank full so you can walk in the authority of God. You ain't got to have a title. Right. I just keep going back to that. So much of my formation in my Christian walk happened before I got a title. Before I got that. Just, Crystal recently, recently when I went, you know, I went to Florida to do a funeral. She met the guy called Pops, Bishop Alfred Jackson. That was her second time. She met him in college, but that was her second time ever meeting this man who had so much influence when I first got saved on my life. And the thing about it was that when I got saved, he didn't wait for no title to come into ministry for me to, okay, I'm a preacher now. It was nah. Shifting atmosphere. Boy, you a believer. Commanding atmosphere. Then when I started preaching, it got worse. So then he started checking stuff. How you preaching and teaching in the atmosphere ain't changed. What you waiting on? So it was like, but I ain't a pastor. And he was like, yeah, I know my authority led, but you said you're a believer. Go lay hands and do X, Y, Z. I'm like, yeah, but you the pastor, you work, you have the gift of faith and the working of miracles. Go do it and don't come back till it's done. So, ooh, look at y'all going like, see, that's what I'm saying. The days of me, I told y'all the diet has changed. No more applesauce. No more simile. But I appreciate if I can just give, if I get them to DLC, Pastor Roy or Elder Charnette may give them a prophetic word. You do it. Paul says, I wish all of y'all prophesy. The only thing stopping you is faith. You give them a prophetic word. That's the only thing that is stopping you is your confidence in that you hear from God. Well, suppose I'm wrong. Suppose you're right. Suppose I miss it. Suppose you hit it. Okay, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to move on to the third one, but let me just give you this thought. It's just a thought. It just Sabrina, it's just a thought. If I make a mistake, then that would show people that I ain't perfect. Uh-huh, exactly. And then have the humility to say, well, I missed it. Well, you missed it, huh? Yep. I'm sorry. I ain't the Christian who can tell you they always get it right. I can only tell you I'm the believer that's committed to being right by doing the things he asked me to do. So if your relationship with me is based upon me not having flaws, then that means you were never a friend anyway. That only means, watch this, that only means you were using me to project upon me something that you won't project upon yourself to cover up blemishes and weaknesses within you that you don't want to deal with because it's easier to hate me than to hate yourself. Amen. Thank you, Grandma. So, all right, faith. Everybody say faith. Amen. Number three was reduce trusting natural abilities. Reduce trusting natural abilities. He sent the disciples out into a city, but he commanded them, don't take extra clothes, don't take extra money. Some of y'all ladies right then and there, y'all just like, Jesus, I'm staying right here. Yeah. Lulu just got back from a trip. She'd have been like, Jesus, I'm staying right here. I ain't going no village. I'm staying right here with you then. Don't take, you ever been with people, you know, when you're just going somewhere for the weekend, they got three suitcases. You're trying to figure out, what in the world? You're trying to figure out, we going somewhere overnight. Why you got three suitcases? But this just in case. And the weather may be hot, and if I sweat, then I got to. And you try to take, because we take, watch this, we take the extra stuff just in case. Jesus says, I'm going to send you out with no just in case. I'm going to send you out with no just in case. Now, you can imagine, now it's hot over there. It's hot. When the first time I went to Uganda, I said, good gosh. I mean, oh my God. I was like, man, this heat. And I mean, when you're talking about at least you get a breeze here. You get a breeze in America. We at least can get a breeze in America. You got to breathe. Over there, it is that dry, stale heat. You get out the car, you could just see stuff. And I mean, like, it's 9 o'clock. 10 o'clock comes. Just in case, I got another shirt. I'm laughing at PK because when she came, she had her little bag just like that, and she took us some just in case shirts. And so when you leave the hotel, you're going all day. There's no coming back like we do conferences here. Because of distance, once you leave the hotel at 8 o'clock in the morning, you don't come back till like 9 or 10 o'clock at night. So she had her bag for some just in cases. She had some flats. She had some shoes. A brother was sitting there like, Febreze gone. The anointing can cover a lot of stuff, but that right here, you spray the Febreze, it comes out and turn right back around and go in the can. Can't help you, Roy. You're on your own, Roy. You have just in case, but here's my point. Jesus uses limitations to train you to exercise his authority. Ooh. You want to know why? Because he want to make sure we recognize it's less about your ability, more about my authority. When you hit times of instability and insecurity, have you considered that he's trying to train you and teach you? Use his authority. See, because sometimes you have too much stuff to really be successful. Sometimes you have too much stuff to really be successful. Oh, God, let y'all pause on that one. What do you mean? Gideon, go fight the Midianites, but you got too many with you. And they're going to say they did it, not me. See, you think the reduction of people in your circle is God's way of saying he don't like you. God is saying that's the way of me showing you that you're going to be successful without relying on your ability. It is quiet right there. Because here's, let me take it off you and put it on myself. Here's what I've learned. That in times of scarcity, in times of restriction, that's when God is trying to train me that my name is enough to change the situation. Prove it to you. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, Anita, in the wilderness. In the wilderness. Hungry. And what does the devil say? Turn these stones to bread. And it is written, man should not live by bread alone. How did he combat scarcity? The authority of God. How are you trying to fight adversity? Are you trying to look to your ability, or are you trying to look to his authority? The test always takes longer when you're relying on you. The test always takes longer. The season is always longer when it's about our ability. Until we recognize, man, it's your authority that makes the difference. And your name is more than enough. That's why Moses would say, tell Pharaoh, I am that I am, sent you. Why I am? Because I can be whatever you need to be at any time. I'm not just one thing. I am whatever I need to be at that moment. And if I'm going to walk in his authority, I got to stop trusting natural abilities. Not that God doesn't love me. Not that God ain't going to provide. He's trying to say, trust my authority more than your ability. And sometimes we can't differentiate if it's my ability or his authority, and that's a problem. Because it robs God of glory. When I can't differentiate between my ability and his authority, it robs God of the opportunity of getting glory. So then he has to have a season where I don't have any ability. So I can become clear about, man, he did this. He did this. Because why? I ain't have the money. I ain't have the time. I ain't have the resources. I didn't have the education. And then you and I become more okay with trusting us because we're trusting his authority. Am I helping anybody? All right. So let me give you this last one. I'll be done. Refuse to take things personally. Refuse to take things personally. Leah, will you go with her for me, please? Refuse to take things personally. Jesus says up front, you're going to go some places and you're going to be with some people, and guess what? They ain't going to like you. I'm just telling you up front. You're going to go some places, you're going to be with some people, they ain't going to like you. They ain't going to welcome you. They ain't going to receive you. It's hard to believe. Everybody don't like me. Carmen, it's just hard to believe. Everybody don't like me. And I'm just like, moi? I don't cause trouble. I don't irritate, agitate, provoke in no capacity whatsoever. And Jesus says, look, you're going to go places, you're going to meet people, and they're going to reject you. And here's how I want you to respond. Shake the dust off. You know what he's saying? If you're going to walk in my authority, hear me. Don't let your history in life weaken your authority in God. Just because you got rejected in one place doesn't mean you disqualify from going to another place. Oh, boy. See, what the enemy does through rejection, personal rejection, professional rejection, any type of rejection, is not just about discouragement and depression. You don't want to move forward. When you have enough rejection, you don't want to move forward. What I mean by, I'm not even talking about so much physically, I'm just talking about in your heart. You don't want to get into another relationship. You don't want to apply for another job. You don't want to trust another person. You and I become self-authoritative, meaning we become defensive and vindictive. Which now God says, I came back. Because now you're more conscious about yourself. If I move forward, I'm guarded. Because last person hurt me. So now, if I'm looking at you, but I'm ready. You look at me wrong, I'm going to cut you with my tongue. But some of y'all, you got something in your purse. You got me, because now, watch this, you've started taking things personally. And whenever I become defensive, I disqualify myself from God's authority. Because now, I have authorized myself to defend myself. So now I've given myself permission to hurt you before you hurt me. Okay, see, it's quiet right there. And so Jesus says, I don't want you to take things personally because first and foremost, they're rejecting me, not you. Shake the dust off your feet because he says, it's evidence, watch this, that they missed the opportunity, not that you didn't have authority. Rejection isn't always about you. Rejection is about people not seeing the value of who you are. And if you keep taking things personally, God can't back you into the level of happiness you're after because you keep coming back defensive. And defensive people are demanding people. And demanding people are people you never satisfy. Because their insecurity can never be fulfilled. Because they keep moving the goalposts. They told you one thing, you did it, and watch this, because they don't trust, now you got to prove it again. And now you're tired of trying to scratch that itch because you are trying to scratch an itch that can never be healed outside of God. Well, am I making sense, anybody? So I got to stop taking things personally. I told you I used to take it personally. Somebody leave the church. Oh, my God, I ain't preaching right. I ain't praying hard enough. I ain't fasting hard enough. I'm already doing 2 to 3 days of fasting. I'm already, you know, doing my prayer time and all. I'm already, God, I ain't studying hard enough. I ain't not reading enough. And you know what? I was wearing myself out. First 5 years, wearing myself out. Oh, my God. Okay, what am I doing wrong? What does that church have that I don't have? And so in one day at our old house, 443 Etheridge Drive, Kennesaw, Georgia, laying on the floor, looking at TV, and my wife just walked by, and she just looked at me, and she says, you need to stop looking at Christian TV because all you're doing is comparing yourself, and you become cynical, and kept walking right upstairs. Don't clap on that. And she was like, it's not about you. And I just landed, and I don't understand God. And they want to leave. And I ain't got this, and I ain't got to do. We need to do this. We have service. Make service 75 minutes. Make service 90 minutes. Make service 120 minutes. What do we need to do? Do we have 4 people singing praise and worship? Do we have 9 people singing praise and worship? Do we need a male praise and worship leader? Do we need to do communion this way at before service? At the end of service, take up offering this way. Don't do an offering at all. Put offering in the back. Let people give up. Do we need to do sermons? I got 3 points or 4 points. Do I need to be exegetical? Do I need to be topical? Do I need to do this? Do we need to have gray trails, brown trails, purple trails? How do we need to have keyboard, bass, lead? Do we need a saxophone, a flute, and a harp? Do we need a sweat? Do I need a Jerry curl? Do I need to get a towel? Do I need to preach in a robe? Do I need to have jeans? And all of that, watch this, because when you start taking things personal, you start being somebody that's not you. And God never, watch this, God never gives authority to an imposter. So I had to say no. So if somebody leaves church, does it hurt? Yes. I don't want nobody to leave. But I'm okay. No, there ain't no excuse for none of y'all. Let me skip. There ain't no excuse for none of y'all. It ain't not. No, it ain't the Lord telling you right now to just test Pastor and see how he responds. That's the devil you're listening to right now. That is the devil that you're listening to right now. Don't even try it. I'm saying, when you and I recognize that we have God's authority, when people reject you, you don't close up. You say, I'm still going to live my best life. I'm still going to be happy, because your rejection of me could be an acknowledgement that you weren't qualified to have me. Okay, can I go deeper with this? Watch this. If you hit this wall, that's not necessarily a sign that something is wrong. Walls are not the end per se. Walls are also an indication to redirect you. Every closed door isn't a dead end. Some closed doors is to reroute you. Some rejection you've come to reroute you from casting pearls before swines. And you need to be willing to shake the dust off and say, I did my part, did the best I can, and I hope life treats you fine. And I hope you find all you're looking for, all you're dreaming of, all you're searching for. And I... No, my point, here's my point. I'm over time. I'm done, Lauren. Here's my point is this. Here's the point. Just because you got rejected at one place don't mean you don't have a better place to move on to. Oh, okay, see. See, look at your neighbor and say, move on to better. Okay, that was the wrong neighbor. Look at your other say, move on to better. Move on to better. It don't mean that person was bad. It just means that season may be up. For whatever reason, I don't know. I can't make six on. Let me move on to better. Let me just go shake the dust off. It ain't you ain't rejecting me. You rejecting the one who sent me. And if you don't want me, if he's sending me on assignment, there's some place I will find fulfillment. I will find pleasure. I will find happiness. I will find security. If not, watch this. My destiny is too large for God to trust it to one person. And boo. So if not you, then there's somebody else. If not this job, there's somebody else. Move on. So here's the big so what. When I exercise God's authority in my life, I experience God's best for my life. When I exercise God's authority in my life, I experience my best life. That's when I exercise God's authority in my life, I experience God's best for my life. The take-home challenge. Read 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Memorize verse 4 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10. Read that, but memorize verses 4 through 5. Did I help anybody today? Use. You have a right to enforce and execute the will of your Father. Do not let voices, feelings, and emotions tell you that you don't have a right to God's best. I am not saying that your tears don't matter to God. I'm saying sometimes we're weeping and crying, and God's saying, I need you to use what I have given you. Use my authority. Because there's no devil, no demon, no satanic, no demonic influence that's going to tell God no. I know we don't like to hear language like that in church. We don't like to talk about there's a real devil. There's still a devil. There's still demonic and spiritual influences that you got to use the authority of God at your house. You got to use it at your job. You put oil on your hand, just walk. When I used to work in corporate America, I would put oil on my hand, and Ms. Kim and Sunday, I just walk and just be touching cubicles, and they don't even know what I'm doing. They think, you know, you're just touching the wall. I would be laying hands and say, God, I just thank you. This is a peaceful place. It is not a stressful place for me, because I am your son, and because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I thank you that your presence is here, and I have favor with people that other people don't have favor. I have favor with the supervisors. I have favor with the CEO. I have favor with the janitor. I have favor with all those who make decisions. And you take authority, and you never know how God is going to bless you. And I'm closing with this. When I worked at Hewlett-Packard, and right when they used to be at the perimeter, I was over there, and I was just like, man, I'm not just seeing fruit from my labor. I need a breakthrough in some form or fashion. And there was a guy who worked there who was one of the major decision makers, one of the supervisors, and his name was... His last name was Terrell. And I was like, man, your last name Terrell? I said, I went to school with someone named Raphael Terrell at Morehouse. And he said, you did? He was like, yeah. I was like, yeah. And I was like, y'all got the same last name? He's like, that's my nephew. And he says, do you know, did you ever meet his dad? I said, yeah. It says, tall dad. He says, well, he is the boss of bosses around here at both places, Kennesaw and this one. I was like, really? I was like, okay, nice to know that. But I hadn't seen Raphael since we graduated from college. Next thing I know, Mr. Larry Terrell comes walking through the door about a week later, and he's brought to my desk, and he was just like, I remember you. You were roommates with my son freshman year at Morehouse College. I said, yeah. He said, so what you want to do at Hewlett-Packard? I said, well, I want to work, and I want a good salary, and I want et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, I heard they're going to close down this place, and, you know, everybody's going to get bust or either lose their job or be at the one up in Kennesaw. And he's like, well, my main office is the one up in Kennesaw. I'll see you there. Sometimes you have to remind yourself, God, because I'm your son, because I'm your daughter, even other people's authority bow to your authority for my favor, for my good. Okay. Head bowed, eyes closed. Father, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your presence. We yield to you, and we ask that your authority would be at work in our lives so that we will live the best life. Not a life independent of our submission to your lordship and your leadership, but the life that causes us to remain deeply connected, deeply surrendered, deeply expressed in gratitude for the revelation and the reality that we belong to you and you belong to us. So we thank you that this week, God, every person under the sound of my voice will see your authority at work. Irrefutable evidence that you still answer prayer, move mountains, and make ways. We love you and we honor you.
Thank you for listening. I pray you enjoyed today's teaching. Let's keep in touch by subscribing to the Discover You podcast. Be blessed.